I know you're all busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to come and listen. Before we get started, you may want to grab a pen and paper so you can take notes, and there's a couple of exercises where you'll want to write down some of the stuff that you use in your own business. What do you do, Claude?
Well, I'm in health and wellness.
Health and wellness, okay. Great. And Rhonda, what do you do?
I'm a motivational speaker.
Good. And Maggie, what do you do?
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Maggie does, she's expanding people's visions.
There you go. Good. That's good. I like that. Yes, definitely. That's very good. My name is Teresa, and as you probably know, and I just like to start out here, just like to start out the seminar by underscoring what I consider to be the main thing. And the underlying concept that I've based this workshop teleseminar on, the main thing is this. I believe that everyone can live a healthier, more well-balanced, and inspired life. And what that means from a business aspect is that you can and probably should fill your business with customers that energize and inspire you. As far as my foundation and what you need to know about me, I was just jotting down here some of my key philosophies, and I came up with about 7 key philosophies about creating your best business in order to be living your best life. If you can relate to these concepts, you'll probably understand where I'm coming from, and we'll probably have a really great call here. And if none of you can relate to these concepts, then we'll probably struggle a little bit. Some of my foundational concepts and philosophies about creating your best business in order to create your best life. I feel that it's imperative that I'm living my best life. Now, am I going to have ups and downs and goods and bads? Sure, everyone does, but always I'm striving to try and live my best, most fulfilling, and satisfying life. I do that by always trying to grow through the bad stuff or the hard stuff rather than letting it kick me in the guts. If something happens that knocks me down, I'm determined to get back up again because I want to always be striving to live my life in the best way that I can. Now, am I perfect at it? No, absolutely not. But I always try to give it my best shot, and I consider that living my best life includes being of value in the world and helping people out the best that I can. So my first philosophy, encompassing all of that I just said, is pretty much that it's imperative that I'm always striving to live my best life and giving the best of myself to the world. How many of you can relate to that?
Yeah, I like that. This is
right. You like that?
I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, my second core philosophy is that I absolutely believe that doing what you love will provide the greatest good to the world. And if what you're doing makes you happy and makes your heart sing with contentment and joy, that's what's valuable, and that's how you're going to provide the most benefit to the greatest number of people. You don't even have to impact hundreds or thousands of people. You can provide immense value and only be interacting with a handful of people or even just one. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. Doing the thing that provides you with the most contentment and the most joy, what that does is it shines your you-ness out into the world. And even though this is a call about building your business, your greatest value to the world doesn't have to be about what you provide from a business setting. For example, my mom is a quilter, and she just loves to quilt and create things like that. She loves to watch quilting shows on TV, and she loves going to quilt shows and fabric shops, and it all gives her this great joy, this immense joy and satisfaction, and she pours every ounce of her love and strength into each piece that she makes. But she doesn't sell the quilts that she makes, and basically they become gifts for friends and family. In fact, I've even offered to help set her up in business, but she says she doesn't want to do it for the income and has to feel obligated to make quilts. That would zap the joy out of it for her. She makes them because she loves doing it, and that's her spreading her greatest good into the world by doing what she loves and feels compelled to do. Can anybody relate to that?
Yes.
The third concept here is that if you provide value, you can make money. Because this is a business call, so we're going to talk about being able to make an income and building your business. But one of my underlying concepts, basic philosophies of business, is that if you provide value, you can make money. Zig Ziglar said, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. So I think that we can pretty much all agree that if you provide value, you can make money, and that's probably pretty much a given. Do you pretty much agree with that?
Correct. Yes, freedom.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, good. Now, my fourth underlying concept here is that people out there need your help. They need your product. They need your service, whatever it is. It's your job to get out there in front of them with what they need. So that means there's a portion of the population that you are meant to serve. You're meant to serve. You're meant to be there for them and provide them with whatever your product or service is because they need it. Those people that you're meant to serve are the clients that you resonate with and that resonate with you and your authentic self. So if you resonate with a fire and a passion for what you do and you let people know what you do and you put it out there with that same fire and that same passion, the people that you're meant to serve will find you. And I honestly believe that if you feel compelled to do it, that it's something that you truly enjoy doing, that resonates with you and makes you feel happy and joyful, then there are people out there that need that from you. Does that resonate with anyone?
Yes.
Good.
I agree.
Okay, so we're all on the same page so far. Okay, my fifth underlying concept here, you don't have to live your life feeling wiped out and drained by your work and your business. You don't have to put up with customers or that zap all your energy, that leave you feeling drained and wiped out. It's totally possible to fill your business with clients that energize and inspire you. You'll end up wanting to give them 100% of yourself and wanting to provide them with your absolutely best work, not because you have to, but because you can't wait to help them and it energizes you to work with them. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that concept because they feel like you get dealt whatever customers you get dealt and you have to deal with them the best you can deal with them and that's just business. I actually was talking to a guy a couple months ago about this concept that you don't have to deal with clients that make you feel wiped out or that drain all your energy or that aren't fulfilling to you. You don't have to work with it. And what he said to me, word for word, he said, I just thought that's what business was. You have some good clients and some bad clients, and that's just the way business is. And that's the way business is for a lot of people in business because they don't know any different. They don't know that they have a choice. They don't know that it's possible to feel inspired and energized by every client that you have. And wouldn't it be great to have a business that was just full of clients, customers that you couldn't help but love working with? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's kind of where we're headed. That's kind of the direction we're headed, is that it's entirely possible that you don't have to live your life feeling wiped out by your work or your business or being zapped by it. The sixth underlying philosophy here that I have, and this one is kind of might be a little bit blunt, I'll tell you just before I say it, just so that you know that I believe this, and if you don't believe it, that's okay too. Kind of my philosophy is that you're actually out of integrity if you're just meandering along day to day doing your job but not really feeling fulfilled and impassioned by your work. Because if you're not feeling fulfilled and nourished and impassioned by what you're doing, how can you give your customers what they deserve from you? If you're feeling bored or you're feeling stressed or you're feeling frustrated, you're cheating them out of your best you. So I actually believe, I mean, and I know there's millions and millions and millions of people in the world who just go to work every day and they do their job and they go home and it's just a job. It's just what they do and it's fine or it's something that they're doing, but it's not something that they're totally revved up about. Now, is that a choice that you make in the world? Sure, and that's fine, and that's obviously somebody, it could be a valid choice for somebody. But I really believe that you're going to live your best life and come from a place of greatest integrity if you're doing something that you feel passionate about, if you feel strongly about, if you feel compelled to do this thing, then that means you're on the right track. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Does that make anybody feel like I'm knocking them or I'm building you up? What does that feel like to you?
Oh, you're on the right track.
On the right track? Okay, good.
Right. You're on the right track.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Okay. So kind of that all brings us back to my seventh underlying concept and philosophy here, is that ideal clients will inspire you to do your best work, which means you doing what you love and providing the greatest service to the world. So all those things kind of all come back together with that. That's all in support of the main thing, which we started out with back up, the main thing being that you absolutely deserve and can live a healthier, happier, and more fulfilled and successful life. Because I think that's the main thing. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about your business or your health and wellness or your family or your relationships or whatever. What we all want to do is live a healthier, happier, more fulfilled and successful life. And I really, really believe that that's the main thing that we should all be striving for. And, of course, we're coming at it from the aspect of your business because that's what I'm excited about is helping small business owners fulfill their passion and create a better business for themselves and their family and stuff. Hopefully all that made sense to you and you're still with me. Does anybody have any questions so far?
No.
Are we still here?
No. Everybody's good? Okay.
We're good.
Okay, awesome. So here, someone role play with me. How about Rhonda? Ask me what I do.
Teresa, what do you do?
Well, Rhonda, you know how small businesses always need more customers and they often find themselves putting up with a handful of rude or aggressive or needy clients that zap all their energy just so they can squeeze out enough income to pay the bills each month?
Yes.
You know people like that?
I do.
Yeah? What I do, beyond just helping those kinds of people get more customers, I help small business owners fill their business with ideal clients, as many as they'd like, clients that energize and inspire them to do their best work, clients that rekindle their passions and remind them why they started doing what they do in the first place. They end up living a happier, healthier, more well-balanced and successful life. I'm kind of like the Energizer business coach. I've made it my mission to help small business owners feel passionate and energized and nourished and fulfilled by their business rather than overwhelmed and eaten alive by the day-to-day drudgery of it all. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Can you relate to what I just said?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know from what I just said who I can help?
Definitely.
Okay. Yes. Are you thinking I'd like to find out more about that?
I would be more intrigued, yes.
Do you know someone that might need or want some help like that?
Sure, I can think of a handful of people.
Okay. Does it matter what my job title is?
No.
Do you know what my job title is? Well, you do because you know me.
You know because you know me,
but you know I'm a business coach, right? Doesn't really matter. From all that I said, it doesn't really matter what my job title is because you know exactly who I help, right?
Yeah.
And you know exactly how I can help and exactly what kind of people I can help, right?
Absolutely.
So what we have a tendency to do, most of us, is we have a tendency to respond with our job title. Except, Maggie, when I asked you what you do, what did you tell me that you do? You help people expand their vision or something like that? Is that what you said?
Yes, that's what I said.
That's what you said. Okay, good.
Help people expand their vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, I think that's beautiful. But most of us, instead of responding the way that Maggie did, we respond with, oh, I'm an accountant, or, oh, I'm a mechanic, or, oh, I'm a hairdresser, or we respond with our job title. When we respond with our job title, yeah, it's quick and it's easy shorthand, but what does the listener do? They kind of put you in the same category as every other accountant or yoga teacher or insurance agent that they know. They associate you with anything that they've heard or they know about that job title. Or maybe they think, I already have a mechanic, or I already have a hairdresser or an insurance agent. Maybe they don't really know what a Pilates instructor does, or an accounts manager, or a certified financial planner. Maybe they don't really know what those kinds of things are. They come in, and if you respond with your job title when someone asks you what you do, the person comes in with a set of preconceived notions. Maybe they're thinking, you know, I used to have a next-door neighbor who was an accountant. And he was always cranky, and he let his dog poop in my flower bed, and he smelled like old sweat socks, and I didn't really like him. Now, of course, that's not you, right? But hasn't that negative impression that sits in their mind kind of tainted things for you? Regardless, even if they think that you smell like a park full of roses, what they're not usually doing is personalizing, hey, I need to find out more about that. They're not usually going, oh, I need an accountant, or I need a yoga teacher, or I need a massage therapist, whatever your job title is. So when someone says, what do you do, and you answer with your job title, generally what happens is the conversation usually will stop and make a sharp right-hand turn and head in a completely different direction. Now, the great thing about this technique that I'm going to teach you is that if they're not interested and they're not in your target market, they don't feel like you've been trying to sell them on anything. The conversation just moves on naturally. But if they are in your target market and want to know more about what you do, you've just given them a great opportunity to find out more about what you do. Or if they know someone who needs your service, maybe they can refer you. In fact, today, the FedEx guy, he recognized me, and I said, oh, yeah, I used to work over at so place. And he's like, well, what are you doing now? So I had the perfect opportunity to tell him I was a business coach, or I had the perfect opportunity to tell him, well, you know how small business owners always need more clients, blah, blah, and that's what I did. So then he got what I did, and it was actually, you know, the beginning of a little short conversation. Of course, he's a FedEx guy, so he didn't have a whole lot of time, so we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking. But I was able to actually use that today even when somebody asked me what I did. It's not so much about who you know. It's about who knows what you do. One of the reasons we're here, would you like to learn how to create your own little one-minute question inviting, tell me more, little promo for your business?
Yes, sir.
You think it'd be nice to have something that'd be casual and descriptive and engaging and targeted without being pushy or aggressive or salesy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So the gist of it, what I did was I found a common problem that my product or service addresses for the target market that I serve and then the solutions and benefits that it provides. The first step here is to identify the target market that you serve. So if you got a pen and paper there, if you would just jot down, who's your target market? Who uses your services? I'll just give you a few seconds there to think about that and write down, who's your target market? Who uses your services? Maybe it's stay-at-home moms. Maybe it's high school athletes. Maybe you're a masseuse for pregnant women. Maybe you're a chiropractor for children. Maybe you're a mechanic and you work with first-time car buyers. Or maybe you're a financial planner for physicians. Or a fitness trainer for menopausal women. Or maybe you're an accountant who works with contractors. For me, my target market is small business owners. And if I want to get more targeted, more specifically, I work with small business service providers. And you may have more than one target market. For example, Rhonda, you're a motivational speaker, right?
Yes.
Okay. The buyer that needs to be satisfied is not only the meeting planner that hires you, but probably you also have a target market that looks at the audience members that you do your motivational speaking for, right?
Exactly.
So you might need to compose a couple of different promotional dialogues or elevator speeches or whatever you want to call them, your little minute, 30-second commercial. You may need to compose a couple different ones, one targeting the meeting planners that are going to hire you, and maybe one that's more general that describes the message that you present in your motivational speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
you might have more than one target market.
Mm-hmm.
That's step one, is identifying your target market, the target market that you serve. Who is it that uses your services? Then the second step here is uncover their needs and compelling desires. What is the catalyst that prompts them to find you? What do they want or what do they need to buy? What are they looking for when they are looking for you? What are their problems, their issues, or concerns? Because you don't just go out and look for an accountant out of the blue. There's a reason why you're looking for an accountant. And think about it. You don't just change banks out of the blue. Maybe you're looking for a local bank because you just moved to town. Or maybe you're going to switch banks because of some other reason. But you don't just go and change banks out of the blue. You don't just go look for an accountant out of the blue. There's a reason. There's some compelling reason why you're looking for that. So why do your customers, what are they looking for when they are looking for you? What are the reasons that they're looking for you? Now, here's a classic example. Nobody wants a drill. What they want is a hole. So they're not buying the drill because it's a drill. They're buying it because of what they want. They want the hole. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about it that way, yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to know what they want, not what you do or not what you have for the customer, but what they want. And if you don't know what they want, there's ways to find out what they want. And, of course, one of the ways is asking your customers, asking your clients what they were looking for when they found you or, you know, what it is that they need. But for the most part, most of us, we have a general idea of what they want, but maybe we need to get a little bit more specific. So what particular problem do they have when they come looking for you? And here's a secret. They don't buy what you do. They buy what they get. So, in other words, they're not actually buying website design services. If you're a website designer, they're not buying website design services. What they're buying is the access to new customers over the Internet. They might need a website designed in order to do that, but what they truly want is access to new customers via the Internet. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not calling you because you're a chiropractor. They're calling you because they have pain or for some other reason. So everyone write down 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 reasons why people come to see you, why people need your service. Does anybody have any questions on that?
No.
Okay. I'll give you a few more seconds to think about that. What are your customers' needs and desires? What are they looking for when they're looking for you? What are their problems and their issues and their concerns? Is everybody good to go on that part?
Yeah.
Yeah. So step three here is about meeting those needs and desires. So here you're looking for the tangible results and or the intangible benefits. So what benefits and solutions do your clients get from your product or service? How does what you do improve their life? Now, this part is important, and you may have heard this before, but you have to understand there's a difference between features and benefits. Features are the technical aspects of what you have or do. Benefits, what that feature does for the customer. If you want to kind of get to the difference between features and benefits, think the phrase, so what? For example, if I say this feature is a programmable thermostat, well, so what? Well, the benefit is that your house will be warm when you get home. Or you can save money by not paying for heating or cooling when in your house when nobody's in there. So that's the benefit. The feature is that it's a has a programmable thermostat. But the benefit, the so what, is that you can program it so that your house will be warm when you get home. Here's another one. A car has airbags. So what? You and your family will be safer. That's the so what. So the feature is the airbags. The benefit is that you and your family will be safer, and you'll probably live a longer, healthier life if you happen to be in a car crash and the airbags are there to save you. Airbags is a nice feature, but people don't care so much about the feature. They care about what it does for them. So again, with cars, here's another example. It has all-wheel drive. So what? Well, you won't get stuck in the snow and be late for the meeting with your boss, right? So.
That's a good one.
Another one on your car. This car has higher mileage per gallon than the competitor car. So what? Well, it will save you money on gas. Okay?
Yep.
Here's a shoe ad that I saw. Has a moisture-absorbent lining. So what? Well, it means your feet will be cool and dry. So let me ask you this. How many people buy books? Does anybody buy books?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes? Okay. I would posit that nobody here buys books because people don't buy a book. If they did, they'd only need one, and it wouldn't matter which one it was. In fact, it wouldn't even need to have any words or pictures in it because people don't buy a book. What do they buy?
What's in the book?
Information.
The information in the book, that's closer, but not quite. They don't even buy the information in the book. They buy what the book has to offer them, right? They buy adventure or escape from reality or a smaller waistline or a happier family, right? A book is a tool to help people to achieve something. So they're not buying a book on Orlando vacations, for example. What they're buying is a more relaxed and more fun-filled, memorable family vacation for their 7- and 10-year-old daughters. They may be buying a well-organized, fun vacation. It's most likely, though, when they go to the counter and they pay the clerk at the bookstore, that what they're buying is a beautiful long-term memory for their daughters, for the girls to look back on with appreciation when they're 34 and 46 years old, right? But what they're not buying is a book. They're buying what that provides for them. Does that make sense?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, are you with me there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do people buy? They're buying whatever it is that improves their life. They buy convenience, they buy inspiration, fun, and time with their family, and freedom from guilt, and adventure, better relationships, freedom from social pressure. They buy more energy, they buy acceptance, they buy love, they buy laughter, they buy a good night's sleep, they buy less stress, an ease of use, confidence, maybe a safe trip, but what they're buying is results and the benefits of those results. And that's not all. I mean, there's a trillion things that they could be buying, but those are all just examples of what they're truly, that's truly what they want, are the results and the benefits of those results. They don't want all-wheel drive. What they want is the safety that provides for them. Does that make sense?
Yes.